It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 277. I am your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, Matt and I talk about the NFL draft, and with just a few days to go, where we think BYU Cougars will end up, and what we think might be the future career prospects of folks like Kai Nakua and Taysom Hill. Also on the podcast, we talk about the future of BYU men's basketball and where we think Dave Rose needs to go and how we think he can get there. This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast. You can find this podcast in multiple locations. Check us out on iTunes. Go to the Deseret News, deseretnews.com/podcast to find this show and others as part of the Deseret News podcast network. And listen to Matt and I talk about, well, let's just say the intro's a little bizarre, so here you go. CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast. Matt, welcome back after a week off, buddy.
Hey, it was great. Spring break.
What'd you do with your off week?
I worked. But yeah, I worked out of town and took the family with me.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, nice. Where did you guys go?
Vacation paradise at Houston, Texas.
Oh, that's right. Back to your old stomping grounds.
Old stomping grounds.
So I am in Orlando.
Exotic.
This week, yes. The Hampton Inn and Suites by the airport. Very exotic.
Ooh, you're doing it upright, Mangum.
That's right, I am. This room is a little cavernous, though, for a podcast, so I apologize ahead of time for the likely echo.
It's cavernous.
I did turn off the air conditioning, so I will be sweating quite profusely by the
end of
the show.
Why'd you do that? Oh, because it was loud?
Oh, yeah, yeah. All you'd hear is, like, the whole podcast would just be like, in the background. Should I do that the whole time? Anytime you're talking?
That would be one way to deal with it.
So, Matt, how do you introduce yourself to a Bearcat? Do you know?
Carefully.
Do you know?
I don't. I would just, my only answer to that would be carefully.
Well, thankfully, we now know. Are you ready? There was Robert Irwin, the son of the famous Steve Irwin. So his 14-year-old kid is now like his dad. Okay? Have you seen him before? Steve Irwin, the younger Irwin?
Yes. Yeah, he's great.
He's fantastic. So he goes on Jimmy Fallon, and I've linked to it before through our Twitter account, which is at @BYU_RiseShout. You can see it at about 7:20 in the video. Bentarungs, a.k.a. Bearcats, must smell the head of the person they're getting to know in order to feel comfortable with them.
You know what? That's actually not that uncommon.
Do you smell people's heads when you want to feel comfortable?
What, and you don't?
Like at a business meeting?
Sure.
Yeah, but you see, with your lack of
hair, great way to break the ice. Great way to break the ice.
Feel their breath right on your noggin.
It's fantastic. It's refreshing in a way.
Wow, this is getting weird. This is not how I thought this segment would go.
You know that Bentarung Jimmy Fallon piece is pretty good, but you know what? It's not my favorite Jimmy Fallon segment. Did you know that?
What is your favorite Jimmy Fallon segment? Everybody's talking about my tight pants. I got my tight pants. I got my tight pants on. Everybody looking at my tight pants. I got my tight pants. I got my tight pants on.
That song's now stuck in your head the rest of the night. You're welcome.
It's my head and every listener's head. Thank you, Matt. It was very nice of you.
Yeah, no problem. Once you brought up Jimmy Fallon, I was like, I'm playing tight pants.
I may have said this on the podcast before. Okay, I thought Jimmy Fallon taking over was going to be a disaster.
Oh, but it was not.
He's hilarious. And fantastic. I think I was holding too much bitterness about the movie Fever Pitch.
Were you mad about the movie Fever Pitch just because they got down on the field?
I was mad about Fever Pitch for several reasons. The biggest one was that the Red Sox win their first World Series in, you know, however many years, and Jimmy Fallon, a New Yorker, and Drew Barrymore get to be on the field. Lame.
I think she's probably from California, right?
I don't know. I mean, I would assume that's where she grew up. But, you know, speaking of Drew Barrymore, Have you ever shown your kids E.T.?
Nope.
Mm. I think we're going to do that. I'm putting together a list of movies that my kids must see before they leave our house. Are you ready for the... I've just started making it, like, in the last week. So, are you ready for this list?
All right, what do you got?
All right, so, essential kids movies. E.T. Goonies. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the original, not the creepy Johnny Depp version. And that's what I've got so far. What am I missing?
I don't know. I mean, that's a pretty good list.
Yeah,
but you're not going to do like the whole Star Wars series, or is that stuff like just a given?
Stop it. All my kids have already seen all of the Star Wars movies. That's ridiculous. Mm. So, yes, Star Wars movies would be on there. What about like Jurassic Park?
I wouldn't put Jurassic Park on that list, really?
I show it to kids as soon as they're 5 years old. Fifth birthday, let's show them the Velociraptors.
I wouldn't do that just because I don't want them nervous when the dinosaurs start to take over. I want them to be able to accept our giant lizard overlords.
Wow, this is maybe the weirdest opening we've ever had.
Yeah, I think I killed it with the tight pants.
I'm just talking about my tight pants. I got my tight pants. I got my tight pants on. So, Matt, let's move and transition from all of this weirdness to the CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news!
Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com, the best place to find out everything you want to know about the Cougars from different news sources, and you can also find us there. You know where else you can find us, Matt?
Where is that, Adam?
DeseretNews.com/podcast. We're part of the Des News Podcast Network, so go check that out as well. Matt, men's volleyball, since we were on the air last, they got swept by Hawaii in the conference tournament. They did get a at-large bid and play sixth-seeded Barton next Tuesday. So we'll actually likely be recording our next show while that match is going on. I believe it will be able to be streamed at NCAA.com. Heaven forbid we can watch it at BYU TV or some actually nice broadcast.
Oh,
but it's at Ohio State. So it's in Columbus. If there's any fans in the area, if I live closer, I'd be tempted. But that's a little far away from Minnesota.
Yeah, it is not a trip I can make easily from here.
No, no. So Matt, a couple of things before we move on to NFL draft. First off, also part of the Deseret News Podcast Network, and you can find at DeseretNews.com/podcast, is Bleep, the podcast, my new geeky podcast.
It's pretty geeky. I've listened to every episode.
It's super geeky. The first episode was a Pixar movie draft. The second episode was with author James Dashner of The Maze Runner, and we talk about geeky entertainment. And then the latest episode is Alan Seawright and I have a summer movie fantasy league where we predict lots of stuff, including 16 summer movies, box office results, what will fans think, and what will critics think. The other thing is, Matt, you can pre-order my new books, the Sycorax series, on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com, type in Sycorax series or Caliban's World, that's the first book, and pre-order. The first book will come out May 8th, so go do that. Now, the last thing, though, Matt, is we did this last year, and it worked out really well. We're looking for topics for summer shows.
Yes.
During the doldrums of this dead period between now and fall camp, sometimes we struggle to come up with what to talk about. I have a couple of ideas already. I'm not going to share those today.
You're not going to give it away?
No. No. No, I'm not going to give it away. I want to hear from the listeners. Tweet at us at BYU_RiseShout. You can post them on the Facebook page at facebook.com/RiseAndShout or email us, RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com, one word, RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com. It could be anything. Have us go back and talk about the best left tackles in BYU history, or we've gotten a lot of requests for non-BYU topics in the past, including, you know, talking about superhero movies or whatever. So whatever you want to hear us talk about this summer, send it to us, and we'll put it on the list and see if we can't make some of your dreams come true.
Because that's what we're all about here at the Rise and Shout podcast, is making your dreams come true.
Fulfilling dreams, Matt. So let's talk about the NFL draft. Kai Nakua is one of the BYU prospects that may or may not get drafted. He was brought in by the Miami Dolphins for a visit. It's the only thing I could find where he had an official visit to one of the teams. Matt, they also, in their 30 visits, which I didn't realize this, if you'd asked me off the top of my head, they can only have 30 players total come and visit them.
That's kind of remarkable when you think about it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I was watching this fascinating 30 for 30 about John Elway being drafted. Have you seen this one?
Oh, it is a good one.
Oh, we'll get back to that in a second because some interesting stuff popped out of my head when I was watching that. Anyway.
Very interesting.
So, but the thing is with Nakua, they invited 6 safeties, the Miami Dolphins did, which sounds like a very Miami Dolphins thing to do. I'm just saying. But I think Nakua obviously is on the radar. A lot of folks have him listed as the 6th or 7th best safety in the draft. I'm thinking he gets drafted, Matt. I don't think he makes it to rookie free agent status.
I think it's 6th or 7th round. But. Yeah, but a 4.48 at the pro day, right?
I think that's what the combine
would have put him in the top 6.
Yeah, I think that sealed it. I think there was probably teams that were thinking they could wait and resign him, but one of those teams is going to be like, we want him on our roster. We gotta take a shot. So, Matt and the Lawless Republic, they shared a video of NFL Network of Ian Rappaport talking about Taysom Hill as a quarterback sleeper. Last week on the show, 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry, on the show, we had scout Emory Hunt tell us that he thinks that Taysom Hill could possibly get drafted and that folks will be looking at Taysom as a quarterback. You and I had been this spring pretty much saying that we didn't think he would make the NFL as a quarterback. Matt, is Taysom Hill a quarterback sleeper, and does that just make us wrong?
You know, if he is a quarterback sleeper, obviously we are wrong. But I don't know that that's what teams are looking at him to do. We talked about this. I think his chances of success in the NFL may depend on his willingness to play a different position and to maybe be a running back. You know, one of the things that gets cited in this article here on Lawless Republic is that the Green Bay Packers have brought him out. The Packers aren't bringing him out there to use him as a quarterback. I don't think they're bringing him out there to be a change of pace guy or any of those things. They're bringing him out there to hand him the football.
Yeah, I think you're right. And the Packers have been very inventive on how they use guys offensively, right? Cobb, some of the others, they'll have him line up in the backfield as a wide receiver. I mean, he could be this hybrid H-back, running back guy in their offense, right? And now that being said, Matt, they might be looking at him as a quarterback, straight up. Like, obviously,
I mean, it's not out of the question.
Obviously, they're not replacing Aaron Rodgers with a rookie free agent, but
right.
But you know, so here's a question we have from our friend Justin Sweeney. That's at Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter. As our first tweet bag question.
Tweet bag.
He says, "Am I crazy for thinking a team will take a late round flyer on Taysom and that he get drafted in the 6th or 7th round? # tweetbag." Matt, is he crazy?
2 or 3 weeks ago, I would have said, Sweeney, you're out of your gourd. But I don't think it's crazy that somebody takes a flyer on him and he goes late round. Somebody, you know, he's got some skills and somebody might decide they want to take advantage of that. He looked really good at his pro day. And this is the time of year where I believe, and I don't mean this as a knock on Taysom Hill, because I think Taysom Hill could do some things at the NFL level if he's willing to be flexible. But this is where teams get a little too cute around the draft. They've had too much time on their hands to evaluate the information.
Right.
And they start to drift. They start to drift away from watching film and stats and things, and they they rely on, you know, just, you know, pro day numbers or combine numbers, and or the hype. The hype machine has now been in full swing for months. And this is where I feel like teams start to let the draft get away from them. Now, do I think Taysom's an example of that? Taysom is an example of a guy who could pop up on somebody's radar that wasn't paying attention to him previously. And because they get fixated on something that they just think is sexy about him, they forget what their original strategy was, and they go with a guy like Taysom, which can lead to disaster if you don't know what you're going to do with him. Now, if one of these teams looks at him and they have an idea of what they want to do with him, and it's a sound idea and it's going to fit inside of what they do, and he's just kind of popped up on the radar now because of some of his numbers or whatever the reason is, or as they've evaluated talent, they've knocked some guys down a few pegs on their board, and so Taysom kind of works his way up in their eyes, that could be really good for him, and it could be a really good situation for the team. But it really depends on what the fit is actually about and why teams are becoming interested in him this late. But thinking that a team could take a late-round flyer on him in the 6th or 7th round, Sweeney, not crazy at all at this point.
Yeah, I don't think it's crazy. I don't think it's going to happen, though. I think, you know, I hear what you're saying for sure, and this is absolutely happens every year in the draft. We'll talk a little bit later about the early rounds of the draft. But also, you know, it happens in the late rounds where people can do some interesting thing. I don't know, take punters in the mid-rounds, for example, stuff like that. Where people kind of talk themselves into doing something stupid. I think in Taysom's case, though, he has film to evaluate, right? Actually, quite a bit. Not as much as he would have had he not had those injuries, but he's got a couple of years of worth of film to look at. And I think I think it really comes down to, you know, his pro day may have gotten him back on folks' radar, but I don't think Ian Rappaport said something about well, this is a guy people won't have heard of, and I agree, probably a lot of casual college football fans may or may not have heard of him. You know, he did have those big games nationally in a few of them, but I don't think there's an NFL scout or team that doesn't know who Taysom Hill is. You know,
I agree with that. They know who he is.
He was a legitimate prospect coming out of high school. He was a legitimate early on in his career at BYU. All of us were thinking, could this guy be the next BYU quarterback to get drafted, you know, and he may be in the end, but I think he ends up as a rookie free agent somewhere. And I agree with you. I think his best path to the NFL, his longest path, even though it's a long shot too, is not as a quarterback. But, you know, Emory Hunt 2 weeks ago, he disagreed with me on the podcast. He thinks his best shot is staying as a quarterback because he can do things like a Dak Prescott, that is the modern NFL, not running the option, right? But just killing people with his feet. And he can definitely do that.
Yeah, but I love Taysom Hill, but I don't know that he's a Dak Prescott.
He might have been. That's the sad part, though, Matt. He could have been had he played a full college career. Maybe.
But a year ago, I didn't think Dak Prescott was a Dak Prescott, right? So what do I know?
Right.
Emory
right.
knew. Emory got did. Dak right. Emory predicted Dak correctly.
Yes,
he and did. So maybe he sees something. It's that whole thing about we're too close to it to really get it, right?
Yeah, oh,
maybe
yeah, for sure.
Maybe that's what this is.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, because Taysom clearly has got some freakish athletic ability.
Yeah, that is not in doubt. He is an absolute beast, athletically speaking. Well, the next tweet bag question comes from Hector Lives. That's at Naletto on Twitter, says longer or shorter Taysom's NFL career or Tim Tebow's NFL career? Matt, which one?
I know I keep coming back to this same point, but I'm going to go with Taysom's career. Taysom's NFL career is going to be longer because I believe that he's more interested in playing than he is in playing quarterback.
Yes, and he has publicly said that, right? He said that after the BYU pro day.
So I think if a team sits him down and they say, hey, listen, we want to use you as a change of pace guy quarterback, or we want to use you as an H-back, or we want to play you at safety, I think he's going to be open to that, which only makes your opportunities greater.
Yeah.
Tebow clearly wasn't willing to play that game. He wanted to be a quarterback. He wanted to be the star running the show. And it just wasn't going to happen for him. So I think Taysom's NFL career is longer. He may bounce around a little bit. And when I mean, how many years did Tebow hang around in the NFL?
5? 4? I'm about to look.
So he bounced around for a few years. Does Taysom get to do some of the things that Tebow did, taking a team, down the stretch? I don't know. That's all going to depend on that. That kind of becomes a, and if you look at Tebow's case, that becomes really a case of being in the right place at the right time.
He was the 25th pick of the draft. So he only played.
He was supposed to be a Giant. This great legendary thing.
And yet, what's that from? Oh,
and yet he gains.
And yet he gains.
I'm so sorry, Cassini. That's fine. I'm just going to have to find myself another Giant. Yeah, I just quoted Princess Bride. That just happened.
That's right.
Because this is a BYU podcast, and that's what you get, folks.
That's after you said...
You get a little Princess Bride.
That's after you said that people greet you by smelling your head.
Yeah, we could go back to that whole Benturong conversation and whether or not Jim Fallon said they made it or they made it.
I'm pretty sure he said they made it.
I think it did. And so did you.
That's what Jimmy Fallon said. I said mated.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's what I said with a T.
All right. Sure.
For those of you that are new to the show, I'm not sure how to bring in on this, but there's been a long-running gag about how do you get a bear cat and where does that start. So,
bear and a cat love each other very much.
That's right. That's right. Go ask your mom. All right. So, he only actually played, Matt, 3 NFL seasons. He did not actually, I didn't realize this, because that, his 4th NFL season was the Patriots, where he didn't make the team.
That's right, that doesn't count.
2 years later, he was with the Eagles, but he didn't make the team.
I think if Taysom's willing to play other positions, Taysom lasts longer than that.
He may not ever
start a game at quarterback, but I mean, I don't know, because I think with Tebow, some of that, especially early, was just being in the right place at the right time. But I think if Taysom's willing to play other positions, he lasts longer.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually think he doesn't, but I think even 3 seasons, I'm going to take Tebow's. I just don't think – I think switching positions is really hard. Really, really hard at the pro level. It's hard enough sometimes at the collegiate level. Matt, next tweet bag question is from Dan Roach. That's at BruteDR on Twitter. Where do you see Jamal being drafted? Matt, you and I have been on record with this. I'll tell you what, I'm not feeling as bullish on his draft status as I was 2 weeks ago. A lot of the mock drafts, full drafts now have him in the 5th, 6th, or 7th round. I even saw one today where Harvey Longy was above him in the 6th round.
Yikes.
So Matt, where do you think he's drafted? Do you think, is it 3 through 5 or after?
I still think he goes in 3 through 5.
I do too. I'm going to stick with my guns here.
I think it has to do with 2 things, right? One of those things is who he is, right? And what will attract teams to him. The other is, I believe that the run on running backs is going to take place inside of that time frame.
Yep.
And that creates pressure on teams to go out and get the running back who they think is the right guy that's left on the board for them. So, because once they start to go, I think there will be a run. I think it happens in that frame, and I think Jamal gets swept up in that wave.
Yeah, yeah. So if you look at, obviously, Leonard Fournette, which we're going to talk about Fournette here in a bit, Christian McCaffrey, and Dalvin Cook are all folks that are going to go early, right?
Yep.
Okay. So that's your first run. After that is where it really gets interesting, right? You've got guys like Alvin Kamara out of Tennessee, Joe Mixon out of Oklahoma, who I really liked in college. Perrine out of Oklahoma. Is that how you say it? Perrine? Is it
Perrini?
The Hunt kid out of Toledo, who I've never seen. Foreman out of Texas, who I was never that impressed with. a few other folks, and Jamal, and then you've got some other guys around Jamal as well. Pumphrey, San Diego State, who I think will be part of that run that you're talking about, and a few others. I think you're right. I think at some point, I think in that third to fourth round, you're going to see Hunt and Perrine come off the board, and everybody else is going to start tumbling out.
Yep.
That's what I think is going to happen, because all of a sudden it's going to be like, oh, crap, I'm not going to get one of these guys, because then you have a big drop-off to a bunch of guys I've never heard of that, you know, are more sixth to seventh round guys, and then it's, you know, you don't want to be stuck with one of those guys. So we'll see. We'll see. Like we've talked about before, I'd love to see him in Green Bay.
Well, and I think a lot of teams are going more by with this, you know, running back by committee type of situation.
Oh, sure.
So they're going to try and get somebody who they feel like is in that upper tier.
Yeah, somebody that can do that and shoulder that load.
Yep.
So, Matt, take Taysom out of it, and obviously Jamal, we think, and Longy are going to be there, in there. So, actually, leave Longy and Hill in there. We'll just take Jamal out. Besides Jamal, which of the prospects do you think has the best chance, BYU guy, has the best chance at a long NFL career?
Besides Jamal?
Besides Jamal. Longy, Hill, Nacua, Edie, somebody else.
I'm going with Longy.
Yeah, you know who I'm going with? Nacua.
Yeah, I knew you would.
I just feel like he's got some skills that can keep him in the NFL for a decade. Now, that may not happen. I mean, lots can happen. Injuries, he's a little undersized. You know, there's other things. He ends up with the wrong team at the beginning, and it just kind of, you know, kind of goes in the wrong direction. But Longy's not a bad pick. I'm not going to be shocked right now if 10 years from now we're talking about that Longy's still, you know, still sticking around.
You see, I feel like Longy hasn't peaked yet.
It's very possible. It's very possible he's not peaked yet. I mean,
and that's what you want. You want to peak your, you know, like third year in the NFL is really what you want. Yeah. You want to be good enough to stick around and then peak in time to nail your second contract.
You know what I'm looking forward to? When the Patriots draft him and then he plays both ways. That's like a crazy Mike Vrabel.
That's crazy.
No, it's totally going to happen. If he gets drafted by the Patriots, he will carry the football in his Patriot career. I guarantee it. No way Belichick doesn't take a guy who is as good as he was offensively in high school and use him in that, in some sort of package at the goal line.
Well, he was a D1 running back.
Yeah. Before his mission, he was D1, and then he carried the ball a little bit at BYU, not very much. But he was a better goal line running back than Algie Brown. I'll go on record with that.
Yeah, I figured you wouldn't shy away from that one.
No. So, Matt, let's stick with the draft for just a second. We'll get back to some other football, BYU football news. Of all the prospects out there, of the NFL draft prospects, you've got Myles Garrett, the defensive end out of Texas A&M. You've got, obviously, Fournette. Mitchell Trubisky, the quarterback out of North Carolina. Of these top prospects, is there anybody that you would say, I want to build my franchise around that player? Does that player exist in the 2017 NFL draft?
I think you could do that with a guy like Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I like Watson a lot.
I think you can. I think he's a guy that you could do. He might not get there in year one.
I mean, I've seen mock drafts where he doesn't get drafted in the first round, and others where he's the fifth pick, or even the fourth, pick. I'm just, you know, obviously, evaluators don't know what to do with him. You know who I think is a guy that you could really build, you could build a whole team around potentially?
Who's that?
Is Fournette. Is it crazy?
Makes me nervous.
Is it crazy?
I think it is. The injuries just make me nervous with Fournette.
Yeah, maybe so. If you were the Browns, you're taking Myles Garrett, number one, right?
If I'm the Browns, yeah.
Yeah, you're taking Garrett, right? You don't take Mitchell Trubisky or...
Nope.
I mean, you either trade that number one pick and then go back and pick Trubisky if that's their guy, or Watson, or whoever their guy is, if they really need one. What about Christian McCaffrey?
I don't take Trubisky.
Oh, I don't take Trubisky either.
Why? I don't know. I don't understand it.
He has NFL bust to me written all over him. I would take Watson over him. I would take, trying to pull up the my list of quarterbacks, but there are several guys I would take over Trubisky.
Is an example of what I was talking about before. Teams get too cute.
Never mind. I don't know that I would take anybody but Watson over him. This is not a good quarterback class.
Right. It's not a deep quarterback class. So you just don't draft a quarterback. You go get something else. I mean, Myles Garrett, that's a good pickup. Fournette's a good pickup. Yeah. You know, the guy that I can't believe isn't getting more ink, as people are talking about him, is McCaffrey.
Yeah. Now,
McCaffrey's going to have a great NFL career.
He's all over the place in these mock drafts. A lot of them top 10 I've seen in the teens, and even a couple where he's outside of top 20.
This is a guy that should have a Heisman Trophy.
Yes, he should.
I think he's a guy you could pick up and is going to make a difference in your organization immediately.
Yeah, I totally agree. Game one, he's going to have an impact for sure. The only other quarterback that I really like is Webb out of Cal. But even him, I mean, he's projected as a second or third round pick, right? I mean, this is not – I'm not talking about somebody that you should build your franchise around. I'm just saying, outside of Watson, I don't know that I'd draft a quarterback. And I'm not taking Watson in the top 10 probably. Even though I like him. So anyway, Matt, let's talk about a couple of recruiting things. So BYU just got their eighth commit of the 2018 class. It's Las Vegas defensive back Alan Mawada. He happened to go to the same high school in Las Vegas as the aforementioned Kai Nakua. I just like using the word aforementioned. So Matt,
you do. You like using big words.
I do like using big words to show all my learning.
I got all the words.
I got
all the best words.
That's right. But do you have tight pants?
Oh, everybody's talking about my tight pants.
Everybody is talking about your tight pants. So, Matt, that means that's eight folks. We've got Campbell Barrington, defensive end out of Spokane, Connor Pay, an offensive lineman out of Highland, Nathan Lautu, a linebacker out of Salt Lake City, Brandon Alekao, linebacker out of Nevada, out of Reno, Kump, defensive end out of Harriman, Fotu, a defensive end out of Harriman. Apparently they've got the best set of bookends in Utah. Jacob Smith, another offensive lineman out of Rosemont, Minnesota. Hey, by me.
There you go.
Dallin Holker, a 6'4 tight end out of Lehigh, and then Mawada, a 6-foot, 170-pound defensive back out of Henderson, Nevada, Liberty High School. Matt, so far, it's early, right? This looks like a decent class. We talked about this at signing day. He's going to have better classes, isn't he, than what he's done the first 2 years?
Yeah.
Is that realistic? Or is this just is he just going to prove what I think a lot of people said under Mendenhall was, no, guys, in the modern recruiting area, this is the best that it's going to be for BYU football.
You know, and then if that's the case, then the trick is trying to do more with less.
Yes.
And if he gets the right guys in the program, and maybe that's what he's thinking, because that seems to be what he's focused on.
Yes, I think so, and I think bringing the right types of people and then developing when they're here is probably the difference between us being a top 25 team and not. I don't know that the recruiting ranking, though, that'd be great. If he started having top 30 recruiting classes, I think we could be a top 15 team, right? But I think that's not exactly realistic. Speaking of recruits, Matt, Mo Longhi is back from his mission.
Yeah, he is, and he's gigantic.
Matt, will he ever play a meaningful role on BYU football? I mean, just obviously, he's the great unknown. Never played football before. I mean, he's obviously a very good athlete. We've seen him running. You know, we've seen him sprinting against other people. What do you think? Does he ever play?
You remember the videos that were all circulating around him playing rugby and basketball and stuff?
Yeah. I remember.
I mean, he's pretty athletic.
Yeah, but, I mean...
For a guy his size.
Bro, yeah, sure. He's athletic.
I think he'd play a meaningful role. Do I think this is like, you know, the second coming of Ziggy Ansah? Not right now. I'm not there yet.
Yeah, I wouldn't jump to that because I'll tell you what.
Let's not sign up the movie rights quite yet here.
No. But I'll tell you what. If he does, that movie will get made. And he'll get all upset, just like what's his face about Blind Spot?
Did you just call that movie Blind Spot?
Oh, Blindside. No, what is it? What is it called?
Blindside. Blindside. You just call it Blind Spot.
That's a movie.
The defensive end's coming around the quarterback's blind spot.
Yeah,
nobody talks like that. What are you talking about? Blind spot.
You shut up. You have a blind spot.
Apparently, you have a blind spot for movie titles.
All right. So, Matt.
Isn't that like your thing? I'm not going to let this go.
You never blind let anything spot. Go. Blind Spot is blind a movie. Spot. Isn't it?
Oh, okay.
It is a movie. Shut up. I was talking about Blind Spot the movie.
That's clear to me and all of the listeners.
All right. So, Lawless Republic, they have this interesting article about three reasons why BYU will beat LSU. Okay, Matt?
Crazy.
You ready
talk.
For the three
Crazy
reasons?
Talk. Let's do this.
Three reasons. Number one, Tanner Mangum-led offense will be improved over last year's offense. Matt, will BYU's offense be better than last year's offense?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I don't know that it's as clear-cut as that. We lost Jamal Williams, the best running back in BYU history.
I think that the offense will be better. I'm not saying that I think that means that we beat LSU.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Reason number two, BYU has won neutral site games early in the season, including 2016 against Arizona, 2013 against Houston, and 2009 against Oklahoma. Matt, is that a factor?
Actually, I think that it is. I think the neutral site games are good when it's games like this. Because LSU's not coming to Provo.
No, they're not.
And I think you're going to have a really hard time beating them in Death Valley.
Yes, I would say
you
that.
I do believe that playing them at a neutral site increases your chances for victory, and we seem to kind of have a knack for that. I'll give them that.
Okay, and the last one is dear to our hearts as Patriots fans. The author, and I'm sorry, I should say his name, Joshua Ellis, says, let's not forget about the last game that took place in that stadium, Matt. Down 28-3 late in the third quarter, the Patriots came back and beat the Falcons to win Super Bowl 51. And so if there's a place where somebody could unexpectedly win, it could be that. So I don't know if that means anything, the last one. He's just having fun, right? But
But I'm only going to take umbrage with one piece of what he's saying here. He says that Tom Brady engineered one of the greatest comebacks in NFL history. One of the greatest?
The single greatest. It is the comeback now, right? By which all other comebacks will be judged. It's not just the greatest comeback. It's the greatest comeback that, and it happened in a Super Bowl.
It's amazing.
All right, so that's football for us. Let's talk about basketball, Matt. Not as exciting right now, I'll be honest.
No.
Not as exciting. And I know we've caught some flack. Oh, by the way, I've got to do this. I've got to do this now before I forget. So we're part of our podcast now gets shown on Deseret News, okay?
Right.
And so there are comment sections in the Deseret News stories.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right. So I don't spend a lot of time looking at them, but I have I have gone out there and done that. So I'm going to go read, if I can find it, one of these great comments from a University of Utah fan.
Did they listen to the show?
No. No, of course they didn't listen to the show.
Of course not. They left a comment. Nobody who listens actually comments. Nobody who reads actually comments.
Yeah, so there's two comments on this, on our last episode. Who am I, sir? He says, and I believe he's also on Twitter. This is so classical. It's classical, Matt.
All right? Classical. I'm not sure that's the right use of the term.
BYU, in the past 5 years, has had three players drafted. In that same time frame, Utah has had 12. This year, BYU is expected to have one drafted, somewhere around round four. That's not actually true. Longy is in most mock drafts. Sorry. Who are you, sir? Uninformed.
Uninformed am I.
That's right. And then, on the other hand, expect to have a first rounder, a second rounder, and anywhere from two to four others. So what story does the Des News cover? Surprise. And then, this is what PDX Cougar fan says. I love the podcast and have been listening for some time. However, I don't think you understand... I'll get back to this. He starts with the NBA thing. We'll get back to that in a second. But to who am I, sir? He says, this has been around a long time. If a Ute podcast gets popular enough, maybe it will get picked up by the Deseret News as well. And plus, this isn't a news story, you idiot. It's just a post to the podcast, and we're a BYU podcast. I'm not talking about...
Yeah, what are we supposed to talk about? I don't care what Utah players get drafted more than any other school.
Good for you. Get your guys drafted. I don't give a crap. So anyway, that was funny. All right, so back to basketball. So in the Daily Herald, there was a story this week by friend of the podcast, Darnell Dixon, about... BYU signing of, let me see, what is his first name? Rylan Bergerson, who actually had been signed previously by BYU or offered, and then had ended up at a prep school in Missouri, where he had a very good prep school year. His coach thinks Rylan can have a major impact, but of course, what coach wouldn't say that? Matt, 6'6", guard, can shoot, 3 points. Matt, is this a guy that could make an impact for BYU next year, straight out of prep school?
Yeah, I think he is. I mean, he's got some post-high school experience. You look at some of the schools that have shown interest in him after his prep school year, Hawaii, Santa Clara, you know, notably, in my opinion, you got Santa Clara and San Francisco in there, which are conference teams. But I think this is a guy that can make an impact right away. The coach at what's the name of this? I lost it. What the name of the school is? But his coach feels like he's a steal. Like he really belonged at the Division I level last year. This is probably this guy sees talent in those ranks rotate through. So I'm willing to take his take that evaluation.
Yeah, he was an Idaho Player of the Year in 2016. He was recruited by several. Teams. They play junior college teams, so he played against I don't know, I'm assuming pretty decent competition, and put up good numbers last year at the prep school level. And it put
Link
good,
Year is the name of the school.
Link Year is the name of the school. So I don't know that he'll have much of an impact next year, depending on position and different things, just because I just don't know what the roster's going to look like. It's too hard for me to say. It depends on who
I just
they
have
sign.
One question. I just have one question. Can he coach defense?
That I don't know. It didn't say in the article. We'll have to ask Darnell.
We need somebody who can do that.
So Andre Hutchins on Facebook asked this question. He, in quotes, former BYU basketball commit Christian Papula Jr. signs with Utah. So this is what Andre says. Really? Really? Two question marks? How big of is this a loss for the Cougs, or is this not really a big deal? Can I say it's a medium deal?
I think it's definitely at least a medium deal.
It's a medium deal. I don't think Papul is a big enough of a recruit for this to be like, and he wasn't committed to us now. right? He committed in the past, already had uncommitted. It's a medium deal. It's the timing is poor for Dave Rose and his staff, though, right?
Yeah, it does make it hard on them.
I mean, granted, right? He wasn't committed to BYU at the moment, but the fact that the former commit ends up at Voldemort's University, and I mean the coach, not that the school is supporting Voldemort, but they hired him, so maybe they are. So you know what I mean? It's a medium deal to me, but it would be very, very different if this was somebody that I thought BYU's build was needed to build their future around.
Or if you were going to a school that would ever play us.
Yes. Yes, yes, that wouldn't chicken out and not play us because of safety concerns. Matt, also on the Lawless Republic, author Nathan Cunningham gives three reasons why 2017-18 will be a bad year for BYU men's basketball. Are you ready for this? You can respond. Okay.
It sounds exciting.
Yeah, yeah, I told you this is going to be a big, big, like, love fest here. All right. Eric Mika is going to the NBA. That's reason number one. We both think he's going to the NBA, right?
Yeah.
So we checkmark that. Depth issues. He says there probably won't be a lot of depth. He mentions Stephen Bayo, David Gwynn, and Jamal Ates all leaving. And then, of course, LJ Rose, Kyle Davis have graduated, and Corbin Kafusi. Here's the thing. I'm going to disagree with this one a little bit. I think depth is a problem. Bayo hardly played, Gwynn played more, and Ates basically was non-existent. So I don't know that that's a big minus. They never played.
Yeah, but I think there probably won't be much depth, but that's been true.
Yeah, that's been true. That's
so I think that I think I would rephrase to say there still probably won't be much depth.
And, you know, you replace Worthington, you replace Ates with Worthington. You know what I mean? And Celius is coming. I don't know. Yeah, so anyway, I don't know. I don't know. Papua's not coming, obviously. We just talked about that. Rose is gone. Davis is gone. That was going to happen anyway because they were seniors. Depth is going to be an issue. The next point he makes is no talent development, okay? Now, I think he gets a little confused here on what talent development is versus some other things. I wouldn't have called it talent development, but he's got a point. Nine players, he points out, if Bayo, Ates, and Gwynn, which have been reported are gone or really gone, that have left in the last 2 years. Toulson, Bartley, Nielsen, Chapman, Calvert, Hartstock, and now Bayo, Ates, and Gwynn. That feels like a lot. I don't have numbers to prove that's a lot, but that seems like a lot of transfers in 2 years.
It does, and like you said, I don't have anything to compare it to.
I don't, but I just don't remember there being this much of a revolving door.
But it's, I mean, is it because we've become Lone Peak University?
I don't know. Do you think this Lone Peak 3 has been, are we going to look back to this as a negative for BYU basketball?
If Mika leaves this year, then I don't believe that this whole Lone Peak journey sees what we all dreamed it would become. In which case, I don't know if disaster is the right word, but that sure would be disappointing.
Yeah, disappointment for sure.
And especially when you see, and then if at that point you go back and you read this list of nine players, like that's not good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, friend of the podcast, Dick Harmon in the Deseret News laid out some things a week ago. He made three big points about the staff, but one about last season. What Dick said was, first, Rose must admit they underachieved. I think everyone agrees with that, and I bet you Dave Rose would agree with it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't imagine Rose is sitting there at home thinking, man, we really knocked it out of the park this year. Okay, so all right. So here are the three things that Dick needs, that he believes that they need for next year to be better. better offensive efficiency, or for the program to be better, not just necessarily next year. Better defensive emphasis, and then a broader recruiting strategy. So let's stick with the first two, Matt, before we get to recruiting. I mean, he's spot on, right? Isn't this what we've been talking about for like 3 or 4 months?
Yeah, but let me say this. I believe that Rose would admit they underachieved. He's not going to come out and say that publicly, right? But do I think they're having that conversation as a coaching staff?
Oh, heck yeah.
Yes. You know, so that one, I think you can check that box. I don't think Rose is even saying in private that he doesn't believe that they underachieved.
Oh, right. I'm sure.
Right.
But
and then the other two, I would probably put the other two, then I'd probably put them in the reverse order.
Yeah, see, I would have them in the order that Dick has them. I think offense is a bigger problem for us than defense. If Mika wasn't touching the ball, we're kind of useless offensively. And that's scary, seeing that Mika may not be there next year. What does the offense go through? Haas? Emery?
I think maybe Emery gets his groove back.
Ugh, I don't know.
Because you're not trying to run the offense through Mika all the time. Maybe it's one of those things. Maybe it's a chicken and egg deal. I don't know.
I don't know. Clyde Drexler did pretty well playing off Hakeem.
Clyde the Glide.
I'm just saying, if you're a good perimeter player with that good of a post player, you should be able to figure out how to play off him as a shooter, as a cutter, pick and roll game. I don't know. The last part is broader recruiting strategy. Dick mentioned that, you know, we used to have, you know, you look at St. Mary's, their success, a huge part of it is international recruiting, right?
Right.
We used to have some international players come to BYU. Obviously, Rafael Arujo is one, but there's a few other examples out there that Dick points out. But we don't have anything like that going on. You know, Dick points out that Kresimir Kosic's legacy, you know, and there's a few folks we should be able to reach out to there, that we don't have ties to Croatia, Latvia, Spain, France, Australia, Brazil with the LDS, you know, connections in all of these places. Does Dick have a big point here? Or do you think, you know, we should be able to recruit with the base that Rose is recruiting from currently and be successful?
I do feel like the recruiting strategy has changed. You know, I don't know whether to call it broader or narrower. It feels narrower. But yeah, I don't know. There's a difference between causation and correlation, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
I think at the end of the day, you got to be getting the right players in the door. Now, do I think that we're getting the wrong players in the door? No, I think maybe, you know, you got to go out and find a defensive specialist type player, right? But other than that, I think we're getting the right players in the door. It's what's happening after that that seems to be an issue.
Well, like you said, correlation. I mean, it is rare for any team to have three players on scholarship and meaningful contributors from the same high school.
Right.
I mean, that's rare, right? So that has kind of a narrow thing. The other thing is, anytime you have these situations, you have to then go find complementary pieces to that core of players. And I feel like you talked about defensive specialist. I feel like that's where it's broken down. Is I feel like, you know, I get it. Sometimes you just go out and get the best players. And there's a lot to be said for that. But the flip side is, you have two perimeter players in Emery and Haas who aren't great defenders. And you needed some great defenders to complement them. And they don't exist on the roster today. You know, Celius coming back, he's just another of the same kind of guy. I feel like we've got like six of the same guy on the roster, you know, just better or worse versions of that type of player. And we need on the perimeter some different skill sets, and right now we don't.
Yeah, it's a tough spot, but I think the, you know, that if any school, would any other school in the country have three players that were meaningful contributors, scholarship holders from the same high school? Does anybody else even do that?
No, but to be fair, Lone Peak had, you know, the best team in the country potentially that year.
Right, and they're right in BYU's backyard. That's yes. Their bread and butter
and
recruiting grounds, right?
Two of the players had a family connection to BYU as well, right? All three were LDS. You know, so it – and here's the flip side. If any of the three of them had ended up anywhere else, fans would have been all over Dave Rose and his staff.
So this is really a situation where you end up with this kind of strange situation because you're BYU and you're not every other school in the country.
Correct. Correct. No one, Utah fans weren't getting all up in arms that I'm aware of over the fact that they lost all three of these guys. I don't know if they ever even recruited them because I think all three of them were committed to BYU pretty early. But, you know, this is a thing where if the Lone Peak three had not all ended up at BYU, it would have been a big, big deal. Right, it would have been the biggest deal since I wouldn't say Parker, right? Because did anyone ever think that Jabari Parker was legitimately coming?
No,
you know, so it's been a while since we've had a big deal like that. But you know, people would have been upset. Matt, there's no chance they don't win 20 games next year, is there? Even without me,
they'll win 20 games. Sure,
they win 20 games. They make the NIT, and we're all disappointed 12 months from now.
Is that yeah, we is feel that about quite, like we do right now.
Is that where we're pointed right now?
Right now, that's where I would put us.
Mm. It's kind of depressing.
A little bit, but like at least you know what to expect.
So, Matt, we got to end this on a nicer take, something positive. So,
are you going back to the Bearcat thing?
I was going to go back to tight pants.
Oh, jeez.
Everybody's talking about my tight pants. I got my tight pants. I got my tight pants on.
I don't know that you singing the tight pants song makes this any better.
is that further sinking us?
Yeah, I think so. But I'll tell you this. One of the things I think is cool that's going on right now is these traveling fan fests.
Oh, yeah, the fan
fest. That's a pretty cool deal. Like, Sataki's pushing all the right buttons. He's playing all the right notes.
Yes, he Great certainly stuff. Is. He certainly is. The thing is that, you know, I know everybody says you just have to win as a coach, right? And that's true. I mean, if Sataki goes out and they win and they go to New Year's Six Bowl, right? Then he can be, you know, the worst PR guy ever, right? But oh, yeah. Barring that level of success, I think one of the reasons that Bronco started to fade towards the end of his tenure was the fact that people didn't feel engaged with the program at the way that they already with. I mean, it's marketing, right? BYU is not going to contend for a national championship every year in football. That's just not going to happen. So how else do you keep people's attention and enthusiasm as fans? And I think Satake is trying some things, his whole staff and the department. I'm sure lots of people responsible for it beyond Satake. But, you know, I'm with you. These fan fests are cool. I'm just wondering why they don't do one in Minnesota. I mean,
yeah, I'll tell you, my son was pretty upset when he saw the Houston one.
I bet.
Right after we moved away.
Yeah, you guys moved away at the wrong time.
Took a little bit of flack.
Nice job, Dad. Well, when you know, there's nothing I can say. You're right. There's nothing to be done there.
So this was the other night, Saturday night, LSU did their spring game. And I thought about going, and it was pouring rain, and we had been gone all day, so I decided not to go. And it was so later that night, it's pouring down, and I had run to the grocery store for something, and I threw on my I've got a rain jacket, like a pullover, like a windbreaker rain pullover, and it's a BYU jacket, and so I threw that on with a BYU hat, got in the car, drove to the grocery store. And you got to remember, I live You know, I live just a few miles. I live several miles outside of Baton Rouge, right? So I'm not too far from the campus. And I go into the grocery store. We buy a couple things. And the person at the cash register says, "Well, I hope you guys enjoy your game this fall." I think that they thought I had come to watch their spring game. Like I was some type of scout. Because I was like all decked out in BYU gear. Anyway, it was pretty funny. But they know. Like the girl, the little nerdy girl at the cash register at the grocery store. They know. Like they see us coming. It's crazy to me.
Yes.
But I can't wait to drive from Baton Rouge to Houston to watch that game with all my BYU magnets and stuff on my car. It's going to be great.
That it's a little different even than BYU fandom, isn't it?
Just a touch.
Just a touch. Well, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. I would recommend you go to deseretnews.com/podcast to check out the podcast network, and you can find our show there. Subscribe to us on iTunes or your favorite podcast player. It's easy. Just type in Rise and Shout and subscribe to us, and then you'll get us delivered to your phone or favorite electronic device every week. Matt, what could be better than that?
There is nothing better than that. There is literally not a thing better than
not
that.
Not one thing. Join the conversation at Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout. And we will be back next week with a recap of the NFL draft. I'm sure some more talk about basketball as JC recruits and other things. You never know. There might be some news between now and then. And don't forget to send us topic ideas for our summer shows. Definitely send us some stuff because that would be fantastic. All right, Matt, anything else before we sign off?
That's all I've got.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!